Hello.
Hola.
Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast where we discuss and review new movie releases. I'm Emily Klaser.
I'm Jonathan Pyle.
How you doing today?
Pretty good.
I'm not gonna lie. I am tired.
Tired woman?
I am a tired woman. We've got a lot going on right now. A lot.
Yeah,
the
we
month
do.
Of September is gonna be crazy for us. And it is just now beginning. So, but we've got this. We're back at it with the podcast. We're making it happen. And I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here. How are you feeling?
I'm doing all right. This is the third podcast we have filmed this week.
It's been a lot. We're preparing for our crazy month of September, which means that we've got to do a bunch of podcasts ahead of time.
Yep.
But that's fine because I think it's worth the satisfaction of having them.
True.
Up on time.
Just wish we could have watched a better movie.
I know. This was not a great option. And also, we didn't pick our movie for next week, but we'll figure that out when we get to the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
So, intros to the podcast. I always say these, but I'm going to continue to say them. There are spoilers. We're going to talk about a lot of things in the movie. If you don't want to be spoiled, go watch it and come back after. And also follow us on Letterboxd, DI_podcast, where we post the movies before we talk about them. So, first segment of the podcast, what are we watching right now?
You just finished an episode of House of Cards.
Yeah, I would say that's about it.
Yeah.
Really nothing. Yeah. We've had no time.
Yeah, true.
I keep saying this, and it's probably so annoying, but September's going to be crazy. So, we did not have any time to watch anything. So.
Not really.
Yep, House of Cards, though, and that's enjoyable. So, you know what? Actually, though, the next podcast we'll have watched a lot because we're going to Seattle this weekend, and that means we're going to watch movies on the plane. So, we'll have those movies to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jonathan, do you want to intro the movie for today?
It's The Pod Generation. It's a little lesser-known movie. I think it hit the film festival circuit. I don't remember which circuit it actually hit,
but they're big actors. Like the two main actors are
they're big, well-known
actors.
Mm-hmm. It's directed by Sophie Barthes. She did a movie called Madame Bovary, which had some people in it. Had Ezra Miller in it, which is weird. But yeah, she's not huge.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, well, let's get into the plot. Well, it stars Emilia Clarke as Rachel.
Yes, most known for her role as the Khaleesi in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Have you ever seen how people say online all the time how she's like gotten so old or something? Have you seen that?
No.
There's like this whole thing online about how Emilia Clarke aged so much. But then everybody gets all mad because they're like, no, she's just a woman in her 30s. She doesn't look aged. She looks grown up. Because everybody thinks and visually sees her as being like 22 or something years old when she was
Game of Thrones in what, 2011?
Yeah, when she was super young and everybody just sees her like that. And now like, now that she's grown into like a 30-year-old something woman, like people like all of a sudden are like shitting on her for getting old. It's like so frustrating.
That's nice. That sounds like our generation.
I know. Personally, I think women are the most
generation below us.
Yeah, the millennials. Yeah.
Well, no, but not the millennials. Gen Z.
Oh, the generation older than us? That sounds like something they would say?
Younger than us. Not the millennials. The one below.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so stupid. Gen Z. Well, we're technically Gen Z.
Oh, we are?
Yeah,
I don't
we
know
are.
What the cutoff is.
I think it's like 90. Okay, sometimes they say 2000 is a cutoff.
I don't know.
Sometimes they say 1995, 1997. I personally don't feel like either because I can relate to both on different levels, but then there's some things about each one that I do not understand, like wholeheartedly. Like TikTok stars, don't understand it. I'm happy for them, but I just like can't imagine. Here's what I think about TikTok. Because everybody asked. I cannot personally imagine how hard it would be for your job to be wholeheartedly you sharing your life on the internet.
But also, I get what you're saying. I do understand that. I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But also compared to that job to, like, I don't know, a lawyer, an engineer.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a cynic, but I just don't think the skills are comparable.
In my opinion, I don't see the value add to society in a sense.
Yeah.
But
in fact, there's probably a harm in it on that some level.
Yeah, I think there is, mental health harm that comes from social media.
Yeah.
And I also think that, like, I feel like, I lost my train of thought because I really had something I wanted to say about it and I forgot it.
That's all right. I might come back to you.
I don't know.
Like, compare that job to, like, I don't even know. Like an electrician or a plumber.
I remember what I was going to say. Can you stop talking so I can say it before I forget?
Okay.
Because you made me forget it again.
I made you forget it again?
Yes. What? Because I was ready to say it and then you kept talking when you knew. You were just...
I wasn't trying to make you forget.
I literally was like, stop talking so I won't forget it.
How did you forget so quick again?
Okay, I remembered what it was. Shh. Don't say anything. I feel like that even though it doesn't seem like a super hard job on the surface level, I think having to face the criticism of people online, and people online are so mean for literally no reason. Like, I do not understand it. When I see hate comments online, I'm like, who are you? And how do you have the time to stop and write these terrible things about people and write these judgmental things about people? Like, and there's so much of it online. And imagine your entire job. Like, our jobs are hard, yes, but we can go home and we're dissociated from it. People whose jobs are literally sharing their personal self online and are constantly being bombarded with hate comments. And obviously, like, there's good sides of the internet too. Like, there are supportive fans. But I feel like the majority of people's supportive fans are quiet fans. Like, they aren't vocal. Like, anybody that I've ever followed online, I do not comment on their videos or anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't usually comment. Well, when I was, like, more active on YouTube, I never really commented. Maybe a couple of things. I would like videos.
But would you comment them as if you were talking to the person or as if you were making a comment to your peers who were also viewing it? Do you know what I mean?
I guess, like, one time I gave, like, a constructive comment on a person's video one time.
Yeah.
Like, constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't trying to be an asshole.
But there's good... constructive criticism can be written in a way that it is exactly as said, constructive.
Yeah, but it was to the person, not to the...
To the peers.
To the peers.
I guess I just never think... I think that if I ever posted anything, they would never see it anyways.
Mm.
And I guess maybe that's what people who, like, write hate comments are.
Yeah, yeah. But also, the people that are putting themselves out there are choosing this.
True.
They're choosing to put themselves out.
They are choosing that lifestyle.
So they have to deal with the consequences.
And it
of
is
being
glorified.
Under the spotlight.
Yeah. Oh. It's totally glorified as if, like, it's this perfect life. Like, oh, you can travel all you want and you can make all this money. But I think there's so many sad things about it, too. Like, I feel like it's harder to find a purpose in it than a normal job where you go somewhere and they physically pay you money and you're physically doing a task for somebody and you are receiving, positive feedback from mentors and stuff like that. Whereas I think it's a lot harder to find that validation in that job because the only place that you get it is from your comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the only feedback you receive. Yeah.
I think it would be terrible, which is funny because we're sitting here on a podcast talking about it. But one of the things I love about our podcast is that nobody listens to it. Like, we can do it just for us.
That's true.
You know
it's
what I
just
mean?
A conversation.
Like, I think if there were a lot of people watching it, it would be harder to enjoy it because instead it would feel like we are trying to make it for them and cater it to them rather than doing it as something for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Which I think, and I don't, maybe that wouldn't make it less enjoyable, like, but I think it would make it more difficult or you'd have to be more intentional with it. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely more intentional.
It would be harder.
I'm not trying to say that, like, my job is so hard compared to anybody else's. I'm an HR. Like, it's not that exciting, or I'm not saying it's super difficult. I just think, I don't know, when they're not super popular anymore, when they're in, like, 10 years, when that phase of their life has ended,
mm-hmm.
I just think it'll be difficult for them to transfer those skills into a I won't say an actual job, into like a more conventional job.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be hard for people who didn't go to college because they were famous on TikTok. And I think right now something else that's interesting, sorry, we're totally off topic.
This is a big tangent.
But something else that's interesting is we're reaching the point where the people who were the first people to be famous on YouTube and the first people to be famous on TikTok or whatever are not these never-ending careers. Like, you're seeing them end. Yeah. You're seeing their audiences fizzle out. Because those people's audiences grew up. They have kids now. They have other things that they're doing in life. And, like, they're not on YouTube all the time. And so, like, then now there's the new generation following new people. So it's so interesting. You just kind of always thought those people were, like, bulletproof. Like, they would always be famous and making money like that. But then it, like, it's weird seeing, like, now the downfall of these people who seemed like they were untouchable. Yeah, you know,
they were
so it almost
on
like
top of the world.
Yeah, it's like the life cycle has officially begun of like you've got 10 years.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. But we'll see. We don't know where social media is going to go and where it's going to lead, but
that's true. What's going to be the next big thing?
Yeah, I really don't know how we could get any more short like dopamine releasing content from beyond TikTok.
It'll happen somehow. I don't know what form it'll take, but
it's interesting. One thing about this movie is they don't at all touch on social media and obsession with using your phone. Like, people seem very in tune with each other and their friendships. They're not on their phones all the time. So I wonder if their take on the future was that social media was not really going to be like a core part of people's lives. But I don't think that's accurate. Like, I don't think we're ever going to get rid of it.
Oh, no, no. And I don't think we should. I think it's I think it's a good thing for in some aspects.
Yeah, I think it's just if it's like I think it's bad when it's like used by people who are, you know, they're it's used in an unhealthy way. That's what I'm trying to say. Is sometimes it's used in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
And that's when I think it's bad.
No doubt,
that's why
no
I
doubt.
Don't use social media because I'm not good at using it in a healthy way. It just makes me hate myself. And I still like hate myself, but not nearly as much as I used to when I was like using social media all the time.
That's true. Yeah.
It's funny. Like I would compare myself to people all the time and it would make me hate myself. But now that I don't think I've had Instagram for like over a year and I don't even remember who these people are who I used to like hate myself because I thought they were so perfect. You know what I mean? But yeah. Well, you can continue enjoying the movie.
Where was I? Oh, so yeah, Emilia Clarke plays Rachel. I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly. Incorrectly. Shishwichel? It's a hard name to say.
Chiwetel
Ejiofor? As, not Allie, I wrote Allie.
Alvi.
And then Rosalie Craig as Womb Center Director. That is her name. Terrible name to be born with.
Womb Center Director. Imagine naming your kid that. Oh my gosh.
So the synopsis. In the not-so-distant future, tech giant Pegasus offers couples the opportunity to share their pregnancies via detachable artificial wombs or pods. And so begins Rachel and Alvy's wild ride to parenthood in this brave new world.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find the budget on this. I would guess $5 million. Maybe a little more.
Yeah, I think that's pretty darn close.
Couldn't find the box office on this either. It's an indie movie. It's very small.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say? I can't tell.
Wait, Catherine Hunter was in this too? I'm sorry. I'm just discovering something. Anyways, I would give this movie either 2 or 2.5. Probably 2.5.
I would give it 3 stars just for creativity. Because there were some things that they said about the future that I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Like, I've never thought about that. Or never considered that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It started out strong. It
was cute, I guess. But it was, yeah, it started out strong, but where was your butt?
It just faltered near the end. It didn't really...
It fizzled out.
Yeah. It didn't really know where to go, I think.
It was, in my opinion, it was kind of lazy. Like, there was no climax. Like, they hit, like, at the... They were really, like, hinting at a potentially, like, futuristic industry that could be corrupt. And there were all these weird aspects about it. But they didn't, like, care. Yeah, they just went on their merry way. And I guess, like, maybe that's realistic. Like, maybe that's how the real world is. Like, maybe there's a bunch of industries and a bunch of things happening that are kind of sketchy. We just go along with it because, like, whatever, what are we going to do about it?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And so, like, maybe that's what it was. Like, because in life, there's not, like, these climaxes that then resolve themselves, like, naturally.
It's more realistic in that way,
I guess, but I just thought it was so...
But why would I want to watch something that's realistic per se?
That's the thing. That's right. You watch movies because they aren't reality. They take you away from it for a little bit, and that's what makes them so enjoyable. Like, you, we were talking about this the other day. Movies, they give you the opportunity to, like, experience completely different lives from completely different perspectives and meet so many different people and pretend like this is like your life, because in the moment you're feeling those emotions with them. Like, that is what's so special about movies. So, like, I don't want to watch a movie where there's no crazy things happening in their life, no climax, no resolution, no love story, because, like, those are the things, like, about life that are, like, so exciting and interesting, you know?
But there are some movies that are really realistic and, like, barely anything happens in that I still really love.
Like,
so,
conversation movies?
Yeah.
Well, if they touch on points that are super interesting, or if they, like, dive into, you know, focusing on certain concepts of life in, like, a unique way or an in-depth way, like, then I think it's interesting when they focus on boring things.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, a good way to say it. Yeah.
Whereas this, like, they had a good idea, but it went
nowhere.
Like, yeah, the execution was, like, and it was well made. It was very well made.
It was well made and, yeah, well shot.
I'm pretty sure they had a real newborn baby, because that looked like a newborn baby.
Give them, yeah, props for that.
Yeah.
This wasn't no American Sniper again with the fake baby doll.
It's so funny when, like, they have a baby and all of a sudden they pull out this child and it's like, I swear to God, that's a 1-year-old baby. You're holding it. That thing is huge. Its skin is, like, perfectly fresh. It does not look shriveled up. You know what I mean? Like, newborn babies look like little raisins, you know? Yeah. They're, like, red and blue and, like, squishy and, like, covered in slime. At least that's what I've seen in the movies. I've actually never experienced a newborn baby. But we will soon, because there's a newborn baby coming.
We have an announcement to make.
No, not us. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. We're not having a baby. It is a family member is having a baby.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I did not word that well at all. Okay. So... the plot. Are we ready? Talk about the plot.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this movie focuses on a couple in a very distant future, where the AI systems rule the world. They say innovation is progress and it doesn't create redundancy amongst humans, which I think was actually pretty accurate, because think about, like, 100 years ago, if you had told people we would have, like, the internet and all this crap and being a secretary wouldn't be a job anymore, like, they would be like, oh my God, where are all our women gonna work? You know what I mean? But, like, the workforce still has jobs, you know what I mean?
That's true.
As long as there's, like, industry for you to have a job with, but you know what I'm saying. So they live in this crazy world where people don't like nature. They don't like touching trees. They never see trees. They live in the concrete jungle, as what's her face sang in that song.
Oh,
concrete,
who was that?
Jungle where dreams are made of.
Yeah,
I don't know, but everybody knows that song. So they have holograms of, like, plants instead of real plants.
Love that.
And they have these nature pods where, instead of actually being in nature, you just go sit in this little room that, like, looks and sounds like natural things to, like, calm you down. And you have AI systems that literally, like, track your emotions and talk to you based off of your emotions and say, what can I do for you to make you happier? What can I do to like relieve your stress? Like trying to help them with literally everything.
Maybe not talking to me would help.
I know. Like the systems.
That would drive me crazy.
I know. They would make them food out of like 3D printed food.
Toast.
It was weird. It kind of seemed gross. I hope food doesn't get to that point where we only eat artificial food. I don't know. I guess we really don't think, I don't think about things like that. Like, where's food going to go? Like, are we not going to be able to like go to the store and buy produce one day, you know?
I know. It's all just going to be, oh, let's take this pill this morning and you don't need to eat for the rest of the day.
I know, but honestly, eating is so culturally like intertwined with like human interaction and experience with food. So like if that ever happens, like, whew, God help us.
I know, especially us. That's what we spend most of our money on.
All I do is eat for entertainment. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love eating. But thankfully, I don't think that's going to happen in our lifetime.
True.
You know what I mean? I think by the time we're like old and dying, they're going to be getting people on Mars. And then by the time our kids are old and dying, they're going to be like, why did we waste time putting people on Mars?
I don't think so. I think it'll expand.
Do you think it's going to become like Star Trek? You know what I
mean?
It'll
be like Ad Astra. Yeah.
I don't remember that movie.
You remember when like it was like the whole airport on the moon? It was like, to go to the moon, go here.
No.
And then it just took you to other planets. You don't remember that?
No.
It's a great movie, not by the way. All. You don't like that movie, but I do.
But I thought it was interesting how they showed you the future as this very put together, clean cut, like, you know, corporate world vibe rather than like the normal way they show futuristic stuff, like in The Matrix or in 2049, where it's like, it's grimy and it's gross and everybody's unhappy.
I guess,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was more utopian than dystopian, but it wasn't really utopian in a sense because
there were still issues.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why?
What was I going to say?
It wasn't utopian in a sense because of what?
Because there are still issues. You completed my thought.
Oh, thought for your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. This was a lot like the world in the movie Her, I think.
Oh.
Where the way they blended realism and sci-fi in that movie. It was very similar.
I don't like that movie. We've already talked about how I don't like that movie, though.
How can you not like it?
Okay, so... but I feel like, honestly, they were just showing us only the rich side of life in the future. And I bet you like six blocks down the road, maybe that's where the grimy stuff was. So, you know, they very much focused on the little bubble of these people's lives. So, one of the other interesting things that they kind of introduced about the future is that like people's bosses could track their productivity just like using AI systems on their employees' computers. So like, her boss would call her in and be like, I see your productivity is 25% lower on your computer. Oh my gosh. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, some days I'm super productive, and some days I just for some reason can't get a word out of my brain, no matter how hard I try. You know what I mean?
That would suck.
Like, that would
like,
be awful.
Your productivity this day decreased by 27%. Like, I was just having a bad day. I was tired that day. Okay?
Exactly.
I was
like
getting over a sickness or something.
You can't just have a bad day for some reason. So.
And yeah, we'll get into that later.
And then one of the things that they introduce also in the future is that you can have a baby in a pod.
In an egg.
In an egg, which becomes very important. So in the future, this time period, they basically, it has become like common pop culture knowledge that having a baby is seen as a nuisance and a waste of time. And it seems like almost like this weird trend amongst the wealthy and the rich people and the people who are career builders. And I thought this was interesting. I had never thought about this implication that if, say, you were able to have a baby outside of your body, like in a womb, then maybe one day it would almost become like expected that if you want to be, you know, moving up in your career, then you can't get pregnant and you'll have to do it through the baby or through the womb center, because if you do, then it's a distraction and you're going to... you know, not be able to be as productive and not be able to be as successful in your job. Now, they never talked about how after you have the baby, you need like maternity leave and everything. Like, I guess nobody cared about that.
I guess they don't care, about that.
It was mostly just about like the pregnancy time, which was interesting, which is kind of like reversing feminism in a sense. Like,
they acted like it was so feminist, too.
They exactly. That's what was so weird about it is it was like almost feminist to not want to be pregnant because it meant you were focusing on your career more than the stereotypical wish of a woman to have a baby.
Isn't that more feminine to have that wish?
I mean,
biologically?
I don't want this to become a political conversation. I could see how it could very easily.
You're right.
The movie basically follows this couple, Rachel and Alvy. One of the people in the couple, Rachel, is very attuned to the AI world and she works in a job that like uses AI a lot. She's very supportive of it. She uses all of the new technology. And her husband is a botanist who loves nature and touching dirt, which personally I don't understand.
Me either. I don't love
to touch dirt. I like nature, but the dirt part was weird to me. And he is very into like the idea of doing everything the natural way, like, you know, having a baby the natural way. So, and it's interesting because in the movie, they almost show it like women who get pregnant naturally. It's weird. Like people look at them like, oh my God, they're like, it's actually, like, that's a real pregnant woman. Like, I didn't think people did it. Like it's almost shown as being archaic in a sense.
It's weird.
And so Rachel desperately wants to have a baby using the pod. And it almost feels like it's like a social pressure for her to do it from her work and like her boss literally sitting her down and saying like, if you want to get a promotion, like you can't get pregnant, basically,
which
is what she said.
Completely against the equal opportunity, equal employment opportunity. Like that's just like, that's
human resources guy here. He was like kind of annoyed when we were watching it. That she said,
illegal.
She said that. Yeah. To tell someone if you want a promotion, you can't get pregnant.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
ridiculous. But maybe in the future you're allowed to say that. And so another pressure on her is that she has a close friend who has a pod at the time. And she's raving about how amazing it is that you don't get stretch marks and blah, blah, blee, blah, blah, blah. Like you don't have to go through the pain of pregnancy. But honestly, we were talking about this during the movie. I feel like the things that in life that are worth it the most, that are the most valuable to you, are the things you have to work the hardest for and go through the hardest times. You know what I mean? That's what makes things valuable. Like just even on the most minute scale, the fact that we work 5-day work weeks makes the weekends special.
Mm-hmm.
We even say sometimes, oh, well, it's kind of fine that we're going to work tomorrow because I don't even know what I would want to do tomorrow if I was free.
Yeah, like we had a whole week off. Like
with
not using
no
PTO,
plans, no vacation. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, I'd enjoy it for like
a couple days,
but after that, I'd be like, what do we do now?
Exactly. I think humans are made to have a purpose, and that almost makes me. I remind myself of that when I'm like feeling frustrated with work sometimes or like burnt out. It's like having work is what makes the weekend special, and it honestly does give you purpose, even if sometimes like you don't realize that. Cause like when I just have a day where I have literally nothing to do and I don't know what to do with myself, you know, I get so upset about it. Like if I feel like I've wasted a day or I've wasted time and like,
yes. Yeah. That's true.
I just couldn't even. So I feel like, and you know, with Beans, we were saying with Beans, like this is, she's a puppy. She doesn't even compare to having a baby obviously. But when she was a puppy, it was like 8 months of hell. I mean, like it was so hard.
It was incredibly
it was
hard.
Constant. And like, I know when we have a real child, it'll be even more crazy. But like now she's an angel and we like appreciate her sweetness so much more now because we had to go through the pain.
I was talking about that to somebody today.
Just literally sitting here like on the podcast. She's just sitting with us. She would never have done that when she was a puppy.
Yeah, no, never.
Like it's crazy. So yeah, I kind of think like the terrible things about pregnancy are what make it's so special that you are literally making a human. It's not easy to do. So, Rachel, she wants to do the pod system in the movie. But her husband is not very supportive of it.
Alvy.
Beans is trying to get under the blanket. I need a second, guys. Okay. There you go. Okay. Thank you for your patience. So, Rachel really wants to have a baby through the pod system, and she, you can tell, is embarrassed by it and that her husband does not want the same thing. So she secretly puts them on the wait list to get a pod because the pods are in very high demand and very hard to get. So she's on the wait list for like a year. And she finally gets a message that they've come off the wait list, and she's like, oh my gosh. So she goes, she tours the place without her husband. And she puts down the down payment of like $8,000 without telling him. And then she goes home. He sees the charge on their credit card and he asks about it. And that's when she decides it's an opportune moment to tell him that she has put a down payment down on a pod baby.
For a child.
That is crazy. But he's a very supportive husband and he agrees to it. Even though he doesn't fully agree with the premise of it, he wants to support his wife and he wants to have children. So they embark on this journey. It's weird, because you get to like, there's just all these like weird things about it. Like you get to watch the egg get inseminated and you can choose if it's a boy or a girl, and You feed the pod through an application that lets you play music to them, and it treats it almost like a game, like raising the baby.
It's like those games you had on your phone and your Nintendo DS where it was like you raise your own like puppy or something.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it's very similar to that where you're going to, oh, feed it every day.
Exactly. Like I had to
get out to the bath to go outside. And
I had a Nintendo game.
It was like a puppy. You had the puppy one?
With a baby. It was a baby Nintendo baby game. And you'd literally like raise the baby on the Nintendo.
Wow.
And I loved it. I thought it was so cute. But I just like, it was just like weird. It was like almost not serious. It was almost like a toy or like a game. And like one thing that they said, which I just like did not think was feasible, was that a woman could have a baby on her own through the pod system using her egg and a skin cell. There is no way that that would be safe. You would be making a replica of yourself. The whole point of having the two is because your DNA combines to make the child DNA that's different. If you replicated your own DNA, like you would like just be making a replicant of yourself.
That's like the movie Predestination. And remember watching that?
Yeah, I did not. But I think of the lamb, like the first organ, like living animal to be I don't remember what it was called, but it was like a replica of itself. But there's so many issues with that because you're so likely to have like genetic defects and stuff, and there's a lot of ethical issues with it too, with human replication. So you know, we've all seen The Mandalorian. Okay, we all know where that goes. Was that an accurate Star Wars reference?
Replication?
Aren't all of the little troopers
stormtroopers are replicants? They're clones.
See, I was right. Well, clones. Well, whatever. Replicants. I couldn't remember the word clones. Cloning. Because I was trying to talk about cloning this whole time, but that's what it would have been, is making a clone of yourself.
Yes, but the show The Mandalorian doesn't end that way, but that is true.
But that is the premise of the little soldiers, so I'm right.
The little soldiers.
Okay, moving on. So. They're going on this pod journey, and basically I guess the character development is that Alvy eventually comes around to like really loving the pod and just reading to it all the time and having it with him all the time. And Rachel is like heavily struggling with the idea that she is unable to connect with the baby like a normal mom because it is in her side of her belly. And she feels like jealous because Alvy is having this connection that she isn't having with the child.
She's got like tons of dreams too.
Yeah, she's got weird dreams that supposedly have symbolism, but I don't think they were necessary for the movie. Basically, they're just showing that she was troubled and not feeling like she was able to connect to the baby. So they tried to hint at stuff about the new world that is crazy or suspicious, like things like, oh, well, babies that are born out of pods don't have dreams, and it's just a glitch. Don't worry about it. Like, I think that's a big deal. That's the glitch that you know about. What about the glitches you don't know about?
That sounds worrying.
Exactly. And like everybody just overlooks it and they don't care. And the company like literally produces dream patches to put on the babies to give them dreams that happy will become dreams more complex as the baby grows. I'm like, they're treating these babies like their iPhones with the newest software update and like, oh, get this new fancy case. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so weird. It was like you said, with the application, it was like a game almost, like babies have become a toy.
Yeah,
like an accessory. Yeah. So
I guess that is kind of what the pod is too. It's an accessory. It also shows that, oh, you're able to afford that, you know, and yeah, you're able to take that route instead of actually doing it naturally.
Also, I thought it was interesting because it's like, where do you down the line, like in a long time, where do you draw the line between what's truly a natural human? Because as the babies get more complex, like soon they should be able to code the baby's brains to make them smarter and more efficient. And then soon they'll be able to control the minds of all the human beings who were born through the blah, blah, blah. Like, sounds they're going to be able like to make Matrix it so complex to the point where like, is it really even a human anymore from all of these changes that you've made to it? How do you classify a human?
That's true.
It's going to be like the new transgender issue of that age, of that era. You know what I mean? The transgender discussion.
Chooses.
No, I'm not saying these are at all similar discussions. I'm just saying like the idea of like, oh, well, what does this really mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the transgender discussion of what is a man? What is a woman? Like, then it's going to become, well, what is a human?
What is it? Yeah. What does it mean to be human?
I'm not saying these are at all the same discussions. I'm just saying it is a discussion right now in society. And I'm saying that could be a discussion at some point in society. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's weird.
So, another weird thing that they brought up that I didn't think was really made sense was that they said that there is no federal support for education.
Oh, that was like, what? I was like,
Yeah, so the kids literally send their children to schools owned by the womb center. So this company literally knows that they can control the next generation. They are literally growing them in pods.
And
they are teaching them without any like board certification, like education certification, which is crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, what?
It was almost like they just wanted to throw it in there as a wow factor because it didn't contribute anything to the rest of the story. Because they were trying to develop that there was something sketchy about the company, but in reality, they were just developing like, oh yeah, this is weird. But we're just not going to go anywhere with it. Like we're not going to use this information later in the movie.
It's not like there's a sequel coming, you know?
Yeah, I know. This should have been a TV show because then they could have had more time to develop something. And it was an interesting concept. It just wasn't well executed.
I wouldn't have watched it if it was a TV show, though.
Oh, I totally would have watched it if it was a TV show.
No, I wouldn't have. Maybe if you had, I would have. But
so the couple, as their pod grows, realize that they don't particularly like the womb center and they don't trust it from all of these weird experiences we talked about. And so they decide to have a home birth with a pod, which just, they seem crazy. You know what I mean? Like the womb center literally tells them they are crazy and technically that the womb center owns the pods and only the parents have jurisdiction over the babies. So they have to follow the womb center's rules, which I understand. Like you signed up for this. Like, what are you asking for? I know. So the two decide they want to go rogue. They want to be all natural. They steal their baby and they have a home birth at their beach home on an island. But this part irked me so much. They did not have a plan at all for how they were going to birth the baby without the pod's access codes until the baby was actually coming. Like, the baby is coming.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, how are they going to get the baby out? And I'm like, are you telling me you didn't think about this before? This is so reckless. Like, it's almost like they cared more about sticking it to the man and having a home birth rather than the safety of their own child. Like,
yeah, like, she's cracked it open with a hammer.
I know. Like, there are so many women around the world who have to have babies, you know, at home because they have no other choice. Like, they don't have the health care available to them.
Yeah.
But, like, people who live in countries where they have access to medical care, if they have a home birth, there is a high likelihood they will have a medical professional there with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to make sure that their child is safe. You know what I mean? And you're telling me that you would rather stick it to the man?
They didn't think of that. They didn't.
Like, yeah, like it's not a normal human baby. It's a pod baby. Like, what if there's all these special things they have to do rather than just taking it out? You know?
Yeah, and they just take it out, and that's it.
So annoying. I was so upset.
And you think something's going to go wrong at the end.
I know. This is when we were like, oh my God, this must be the climax. Something must be about to happen. Something's
going to happen that is worth my time.
And we had paused the movie for some reason. I don't know why. And we came back and we were like, okay, time for the climax. Realized there's 5 minutes left. And they just finished the movie by her mailing the pod back to the womb center.
Pegasus.
Yeah, to Pegasus. The company's name was Pegasus. She mails the pod back to the womb center. And then her stick it to the man is, oh, we'll ship it standard, not priority. Like, don't send it fast or something.
I never ship anything priority ever.
I know. Unless I need it. Why would you do that? I just was so disappointed that they ended it there. Like, they didn't go anywhere with it. Like, they could have really had us on the edge of our seat about that baby.
It could have been, like, could have turned, like, into a whole, like, A24 horror movie ending. I would have enjoyed that more than what it ended like.
It could have been so interesting. Like finding out that the pod company was actually super corrupt and they had all these things going on and blah, 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 blah.
Or that there wasn't actually...
And that the babies aren't even real babies. Like there's not even a baby in the pod.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, like it's all a lie. They couldn't actually do it. They just have all of these women that they've enslaved to get impregnated in birth and give impregnated in birth. And then those babies are the ones that are put in the pods or something. If you want some sort of like freaking American Horror Story, like aspect to it, you know?
Yeah. Like some kind of reveal that's like Soylent Green is people, but like
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah.
That movie I would never be able to watch because there's like no way for it to not have been spoiled. Like that's one of the most iconic movie quotes, I feel like. Soylent Green is people.
There was one thing. There was apparently a scene after the movie ended, a mid-credit scene, in which the CEO of Pegasus is seen in a TV interview making bewildering claims that the company intends to allow babies to choose their parents in the future.
How can you choose your parents if you don't exist before your parents conceive you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have an answer to that.
Wow. Okay. What movie are we going to do next week?
The Equalizer Trace.
There's literally nothing new coming out to the point where our movie theater is replaying old movies.
We got some more stuff coming soon.
Yeah.
This fall will be good.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Okay, guys, we're going to post it on Letterboxd. So if you want to know what's coming next, check it out there. See ya.